Good morning. It is Kale and Company live right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you along with us on this first day of spring 2024. Spring arrived last night, I believe, around 11:06 p.m. You know, it's funny. I can never remember a season changing, like, late at night. You always associated with seasons changing like at, at some hour of the morning or early afternoon, but not at 11:06 at night. But we celebrated the arrival of spring last night, cracked open those bottles of champagne, and got ready for the 1883 Black Ice Hockey Tournament that is coming up this weekend at the Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett. We're hoping to have Chris Brown join us, who is the founder, the driving force behind the 1883 Black Ice Pond Hockey Tournament, which has been very successful over the years, has grown over the years, but unfortunately, due to COVID, there were some issues, and last year, the games could not be played outdoors because of lack of ice. Ditto this year. The games could not be played at White Pond in Concord as a result of the lack of ice. And so as a result, the Black Ice Pond Hockey Tournament will be played this coming weekend, Friday through Sunday, at Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett, New Hampshire. So hopefully Chris will give us a call and talk about its history and what to expect this weekend. And two rinks. Last year, the event was staged at the Everett Arena in Concord, where there was only one rink. But at Tri-Town and Hooksett, there are two rinks. So more teams will be able to participate. Of course, it's always the goal to have the event outdoors on the frozen pond at White Park. But that did not happen. Mother Nature did not allow it to happen this year. So that's the way that stands. And hopefully Chris will call in. In the second part of the program, we'll be chatting with Clint Ettinger, who is the general manager and also the director of hockey operations for the North American Hockey League Mountain Kings and academy teams, also at Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett. So we are awaiting Clint as well, and he will be joining us in just a few minutes. And at the just as we were talking a little bit about the Black Ice Tournament, who is on the line but Chris Brown? Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ken. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? Happy spring, by the way.
Well, I'm looking at a palm tree right now, so unfortunately, that's not what you guys are looking at.
Not really. I'm not looking at any palm trees. There are no palm trees on Reddington Road in Concord. That I can assure you, Chris. I just mentioned briefly that you would be calling in, and you, of course, the driving force behind the 1883 Black Ice Pond Hockey Championship and a festival, and a little bit different twist this time around.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, Mother Nature has not been kind, and I think I've told this on the show, is this is the 13th year, and I think Mother Nature has a winning record over Black Ice over the 13 years, but we'll put a different spin on it, and I think last year people appreciated that we actually brought the pond hockey boards and planks in the hockey rink versus using the regular hockey boards. So it changes the game a little bit and makes it a lot more like pond hockey versus a hockey game breaking out.
So will that be the case this year as well?
That will be the case this year. We have the opportunity to bring it to Tri-Town and Hooksett, which I know has created some concern with people while we're walking away from Concord, and really that had nothing to do with the scenario. Last year when we had this at Everett Arena, There was just too much to do in one rink, and obviously we have the capacity to do that in Hooksett, where two rinks will shorten the day up quite a bit. So when we were in Concord last year, we were playing pond hockey from 8 a.m. till about 11 p.m.
Wow.
Now with the two sheets at Tri-Town and Hooksett, we'll be playing games between 9 a.m. and basically 7 o'clock. So it will shorten the day quite a bit.
And I would suspect that it will allow more teams to be able to participate with the two sheets.
Yes. You know, we have about six more teams than we had participate indoors last year. So 56 teams. That is, we had 84 scheduled for outdoors. But, you know, that's just, you know, we've changed the date three times this year because of weather. So you have to be a little flexible with folks, and some of them can accommodate it, and some of them will defer till next year.
Well, and it's a great event, and you know, the hockey is terrific, but so many things go on around it. Some things you can do outdoors that you can't do indoors, but still, I'm sure indoors at Tri-Town, it will be a very festive occasion this weekend.
There's no question. We'll have music playing. We'll have some shooting games for the kids. So there's plenty to do if you bring your kids to watch some of the games. There'll be plenty of entertainment there. We'll have all our merchandise for sale, and then obviously the food and beverage with the concession at Tri-Town will be open, and you know, we'll have it all inside versus last year, you know, having to put it under some tents outside. So yes, it will much easier to accommodate what we're trying to do.
Now, when you talk about shooting events for the kids, that'll be the hockey shooting, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. nothing alternative to that. Now, it's hockey accuracy shooting. They have if people have come to Black Ice in the past, we've got these two accuracy shooting games that have been consumed by the kids, throughout the day. So it's a good opportunity for them.
Absolutely. And Chris mentioned just before you called in that you are the founder, the driving force behind this entire event. And how did it all get started? What was the catalyst to get things going?
It's hard to believe it's 13 years have passed with this event. My other company, the beer distributor, is heavily involved in hockey, and we were one of the original sponsors for the event in Meredith. And at that point, our sponsorship did not last with that event, which is that happens from time to time. But I kind of said, why not Concord? We could do something like this in Concord, and just the history of hockey in Concord, where the first organized hockey game was played at St. Paul's School, on the lower pond there. And, really the history of how White Park was part of the hockey community really up until the 60s. We thought it was just a great opportunity to, showcase, a tournament like that in Concord. And, that first year you sat there and looked at, how people were enjoying it, and you knew you had something. And, so it's been a labor of love and, over the 13 years, but, quite a path.
Yeah, it has certainly grown. And we hope someday, Chris, to maybe even have it at White Park again.
I think someday we'd like to do that. I keep saying one of these years, the odds are that we're going to be able to pull this off outdoors. So, unfortunately, the last couple of years have not done so. And, unfortunately, even just public skating outdoors at the park, I think it's only been open a handful of days the last 2 years. So,
It's unfortunate. Mother Nature is not cooperating. Well, we have to get after her. But at any rate, it's always a great event, indoors or outdoors, and it's coming up this weekend starting Friday. What time does the action get underway on Friday?
9 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. So same schedule, 9 a.m. to about 7:50 on both Friday and Saturday. And then the semifinals and finals are Sunday between 8 and 11:30.
All right. So if you've never experienced a black ice tournament before, check it out. Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett all this weekend. Plenty of great hockey, great food and beverages, including the adult variety, and all kinds of souvenirs and mementos. And Chris, you've done a great job with this over the years, and we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Al, thank you for your support. You guys have been great over the years getting the word out about the event. And as I said, we're a nonprofit that has worked on giving back to the community. We've given over $650,000 back to the booster clubs and local athletic funds, as well as the project to build the new skatehouse at White Park over the 13 years. So it's definitely a community event.
Yep, no question about it. And Chris, thanks so much for all you do with not only the Black Ice, but now the New Hampshire Mountain Kings. And your buddy Clint Ettinger will be joining us momentarily, so we'll talk more Mountain Kings. But thanks for joining us this morning from sunny Florida, overlooking those palm trees, which we don't have on Reddington Road.
I know. Well, thank you. I'll be getting on a plane to come back to reality here tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Take care. Chris Brown, New Hampshire Distributors, New Hampshire Mountain Kings, Tri-Town Ice Arena, Black Ice Tournament. There's nothing this guy doesn't do. Or is that a double negative? I don't know. But he does a lot, folks. That was the idea. We'll take a break. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you with us on this first day of spring. So I thought we would celebrate spring by talking some hockey this morning on the program. We had Chris Brown on just a few minutes ago talking about the 1883 Black Ice Pond Hockey Tournament this weekend at Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett. And we welcome Clint Ettinger, and Clint is the general manager and director of hockey operations for the North American Hockey League Mountain Kings and academy teams. And Clint, your plate is pretty full.
Yeah, you can say that. but again, we're coming to, an end as far as the, regular season play. And with any luck, we need a little bit of help, but we can maybe sneak in the playoffs for the North American team. And the academies are finished up as far as the game schedule goes. So they're continuing with the skills and off-ice training and just continuing to develop.
You know, we were just talking when you came into the studio about what a whirlwind it has been. I mean, it was less than a year ago that I remember you and Chris Brown coming into this studio. I mean, the table was in a different direction, but it's the same studio. Announcing the formation of this team, the Mountain Kings. And, boy, since that time, things have been moving at a warp speed.
Yeah, it's full throttle, that's for sure. Lot of pieces to the puzzle, and just, from everything, picking colors to logos to, how many teams we're going to have and how this thing's going to work, and then taking on an ice arena and, renovating that.
Yeah.
So it's been a big project for sure. And, I hats off to everybody that's working in the organization, from the arena staff to all the coaches for honestly, pulling off what I think we have been pretty successful in year one.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it that it has been a success. I mean, a first-year franchise in the North American Hockey League. And, a lot of people still, even if they're hockey fans, may not know exactly what the North American Hockey League is all about. So I want to just briefly, in capsule form, give us, what it is all about and the development that these players are going through at the moment.
Yeah, I think even for myself, you know, being involved in other junior hockey leagues and midget leagues and having an opportunity to be a part of this, you know, with my feet on the ground and just really watching how tough it is to play in this league day in and day out for a lot of kids and for a lot of reasons. The physical and then the mental part of it is big as well. When you're used to playing 30, 35 games and you've got to be ready to go for 60, and in this level, I truly believe it's the league where you can still earn that scholarship to play college hockey. And teams better themselves throughout the year and drop downs and transactions occur. And everybody's trying to, you know, again, be there in the end and win it all. But more importantly, develop these young men and get them off to help reach their goals and dreams of playing college hockey.
And as you say, the transition to a league like this, you know, quality league with a lot of games. I mean, probably many of these players have never played as many as 60 games in a season. I mean, more like in the 30 range than 60. So they're coming in and you know, double their playing time in one season. So that has to involve quite a bit of conditioning.
Yeah, the conditioning for sure. And then, you know, and the travel as well is a big piece of it. I don't think a lot of kids are used to getting home at, you know, 10 a.m. on, you know, Sunday morning. Yeah. And then trying to rally back up and get going Monday, you know, in case you have a midweek game, or just trying to stay conditioned and you're battling injuries. And it really is a demanding league, but with that being said, it provides that opportunity for you to, I think, play a high level of college hockey. The scouting is there, the play without the puck, the heaviness of the league. You know, I think the fighting part is not what it used to be. It's, yeah, here and there, but it's more, you know, getting these guys ready to play college, and that's the end goal.
Yeah, and of course, fighting in hockey at any level now doesn't seem to be what it once was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I when I was growing up, long before you, Clint, I remember some real battles between Bruins and Canadians and Bruins and the Red Wings and you name it. I mean, pure Sixers, and you know, I remember the big battle at Madison Square Garden where Mike Milbury went into the stands and beat up somebody with a shoe.
Yeah, yep. I think I was seeing some clips on that last night.
Oh, really? But that kind of thing really doesn't happen anymore. Once in a long while, you'll see it. But fighting has pretty much gone away from the game. Some people really get into it. But at any rate, people come up to me because I'm there at the games, doing the games on the internet TV platform. And sometimes people ask me, how does this league, the North American Hockey League, compared to, let's say, the Quebec Major Junior League or the Ontario Hockey League or other junior leagues they may be familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, it's the, you know, the end goal is a little bit different when you're playing in those leagues, you know, the OHL, the Quebec Major Junior, the, you know, the WHL. You're kind of, you know, the forfeiting the college eligibility in the U.S., you know, so you can still go to a Canadian university if that's, if the professional, you know, route doesn't work for you.
Right.
Here, then, you know, the North American Hockey League is, you know, the sole goal is to get you to college hockey in the States.
Yeah. And you see any number of players on the Mountain Kings and other teams around the league as well that already have, you know, college scholarships at this point, and others are vying for that as well. How long would be the, let's say, the longest tenure anyone could have in the North American Hockey League? What's the age range and how many years would be the maximum for a player in the league?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. You know, like this year, you could have 07s, 2007s playing, and the 2003 is the age-out year.
Okay.
This season here. I think it would depend on, you know, the commitment to a college and then when they want to than when they want to take you, you know, so yeah. you can get, you know, 3-4 years in the league. And again, I think it goes both ways. Like if they have a spot for you at the university, or, you know, you're starting to the junior hockey, it's that's a long time to yeah. to travel and play 60 games a season. And sometimes it's, you know, they'll take you earlier.
Yeah. But I guess it all depends on if the particular college or university you've committed to has a scholarship available for that season.
Yeah, correct. And I think getting yeah. through this COVID, where the portal's bigger than it's ever been, mm-hmm. and how many guys are returning, and what do you have coming in, and it kind of, when you commit to there, they kind of decide, you know, when you're coming.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and you see, it's not uncommon these days to see college players begin their careers at 21 or 22.
Oh yeah, that's
in college hockey.
That's yeah. normal. Yeah, that's normal. I think it's the only sport, obviously, that is like that.
Right.
But it's the route for sure.
When did you start? I know you played 4 years at New England College.
Yeah.
What age did you start there?
96. I played 1 year of junior hockey.
Okay.
And then yeah. went right to college.
Right to yeah. college, yeah. yeah. Right to Henniker.
Right to Henniker.
There you go.
I was going the year before, and they had a coaching change, and it was either going to prep school or junior hockey.
Yeah.
That's the route I chose, but... The platform was a little easier. There was one league only.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Clint Ettinger is with us, and Clint is the general manager, director of hockey operations for the NHL Mountain Kings, NAHL, NA3 teams, and academy teams. And we'll continue our conversation with Clint right after these words. Kale & Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we'll be right back. Did I hear the S word in that forecast? No, it's spring. It's spring. We have, Clint Ettinger for the first time. We have, and Chris Brown verified that, we've never had a black ice pond hockey tournament in the spring before. So this is certainly a first, and that's coming to Tri-Town this weekend, the 22nd through the 24th, starting Friday at 9 a.m. Have you ever played in a black ice tournament?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. We had a group together for a while. Jack Edwards' teeth. We were.
Yeah. Oh, you were on that team.
Yeah.
I've heard about that team. Yeah.
Yeah, good group of guys.
Jack Edwards' teeth. Yes.
Hard to forget that one.
Yeah. Right. It is. But at any rate, Clint Ettinger is here. Clint is the general manager, director of hockey operations for the NAHL Mountain Kings and the academy teams there as well. And you were first-year team, obviously an expansion team. How do you go about putting a team at teams like this together? What's the process?
Well, it's a lot of staff meetings, phone calls, and utilizing the resources you've had over the years with advisors and agents, and trying to put a group of guys together that can do it at this level. And it is a different level day in and day out. So bringing a lot of guys into skate and having our pre-draft camp right before the draft, and then having our main camp, and then you're into training camp and you're still heavy on the roster, and more guys become available from different leagues, and it's a lot of paperwork behind the scenes to try to put together a roster that can compete at this level, especially going in not really knowing what everybody else has or what they're getting.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Is there a lot of scouting involved before the draft? Or can you just, look at, paperwork, as you say, and see the prospects that are coming up?
Yeah, it's a ton of scouting throughout the summer. It starts in the spring with the tournaments, pre-draft down in Massachusetts, Chowder Cup, and then next thing you know, you're your staff's on a plane and they're heading wherever they can to find you know, a player that can help your organization for sure. So it's a ton of scouting. And then again, that gets on the papers and spreadsheets, and then you got a board, and you're next thing you know, you're drafting players and trying to put a piece, a team together.
So, as an expansion team, where were the Mountain Kings in the pecking order as far as the draft is concerned?
We were last as far as the expansion, teams went. So, not a big deal though. You get a little bit of a hiccup, you just got to move down the list and shuffle some things around, but not a big deal.
No, but it must take a lot of as you mentioned, the scouting aspect involved and all that goes with it to put a team together. And folks, we're talking about players here, literally from throughout the world, not just North America, but the world.
Yeah, for sure. And that, like I mentioned earlier, with the agents and advisors, and you're constantly on the phone with them throughout the week, just. If a kid's not happy, or if the team isn't what he thought it was, and maybe there's an opportunity for us to get them over here. And, it gets a little bit tricky with the kids that are, not in North America, because you're watching videos and bringing a kid in to have him fly across the world to skate and hope it works out is it's a little bit tricky, So we try to do our homework, trust the advisors and the agents that are representing these kids,
Oh, yeah. Certainly a lot of logistical work that goes into it. Do you get involved at all in getting visas for the players and that sort of thing?
For the academy kids, yes.
Yeah.
And Bishop Brady's is always a huge help on that aspect. For the junior player, the visa is a little bit different. So for them to get that is a little quicker process for sure. Yeah. So they can get over here pretty quick.
Yeah. So, but again, then once they get here, and you get a team formed from no matter where these youngsters are from, they have to be housed.
Correct.
And how does that work in junior hockey?
Well, you've got a, we have a, a billet coordinator that, she spends a lot of time talking to these families and trying to place them, logistically and strategically, so that, especially like the international kids that don't have a car or have a ride, and which family is going to take one or maybe two. And that's a huge part of it. So, you can't do a program like this without having the support from the community and the billet families. They're a huge part of this. You're taking a kid for 9-10 months in your home and becomes a part of your family, and it's truly, truly appreciated from the Mountain King staff, that's for sure.
And again, billet, for those who aren't familiar with the term, are the folks who house and feed and many times drive these players to their practices and their games and all that kind of thing. And they are very dedicated people. And most of the time, they're big hockey fans to begin with.
Yeah, and if they're not, I think they'll
become that way, right?
I think it draws you in, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
No doubt about it. So how is it, are there any lack of billet families in the Hooksett area?
In the Hooksett area, I would say probably, but we've got families up to, 40 minutes away from us that have been super supportive. So,
well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, it takes a lot of dedication, but then the relationships you develop do last a lifetime. They really do, from the athletes that you come in contact with as a billet family.
Oh, yeah. And I can speak firsthand on that. We've had many, many billet kids in our house over the years. They do. They're and now it's funny to see they're growing up, and, they're still playing or they're done and they're starting a family and they're, you know, they're coaching and that's great to see.
That. You know, absolutely is. No doubt about that. And, you know, the Mountain Kings, first year team. And I think so far, you know, the crowds have been pretty good for the Mountain Kings.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I think, you know, I think anytime you have an event or youth hockey night or something in there that's just bringing, you know, the community down to the arena to watch a game. I don't think sometimes they don't even know what they're really watching. And then I think they leave and go, wow, this is a really good hockey. And these kids are, you know, not even at college level yet. So I think it's an eye opener for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And so many people were, you know, where I'm located, pass by and, you know me from my days with the Monarchs and say, wow, this is pretty good hockey, you know, really. And they know what they're talking about. And it is outstanding and entertaining hockey. And just one game left at home on the regular season anyway. And that's next Tuesday night at 6:30. So fans have not yet had the opportunity to check out a game at Tri-Town and Hooksett. There's at least one more opportunity to get out and do that next Tuesday.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
last one of the season at home.
So, where do the players after the season comes to an end? Do they go back to their respective homes? Do some stick around, or how does that work?
Typically, after in the junior hockey scene, they'll pack up within a week or so and try to salvage what's left of the spring and summer, get right into the off-ice training and get ready for the next upcoming season.
And because it will be here before you know it, right?
That's for sure.
The next season.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, Clint, I appreciate you coming in today and giving us a little insight into the New Hampshire Mountain Kings. And you guys have put together a great organization in a very, very short time. And I tell you what, the logo designed by Chris Brown's daughter has really taken off. I mean, you see a lot of people wearing the Mountain Kings gear, as we both are here today.
Absolutely.
So, it's a great logo. And
wow, she did an awesome job with that.
Yeah, she really did. And Chris, thanks for all you do and the entertaining hockey that is provided at Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett. And again, the final home game for the regular season will be next Tuesday at 6:30. So fans, if you haven't checked it out yet, or even if you have, show up on Tuesday and show your support for this great organization. Clint, thanks so much for being with us.
Ken, thank you very much for having me and for all you do for the Mountain Kings.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks so much. We'll take a break and be right back. Kale and Company continues here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company Live right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Thanks to Chris Brown and Clint Editor for joining us here on the program today, talking a little hockey. And in the meantime, Andrew, I'm sitting here, and this is like the only opportunity I've ever had to do this while hosting a morning radio program, and that is to watch a regular season Major League Baseball game.
Wow.
I'm watching a baseball game from, of all places, Seoul, South Korea. It's the first game of the regular season. The Dodgers, the L.A. Dodgers, and the San Diego Padres going at it. And right now they're in the bottom of the eighth inning, and the Dodgers are on top by a score of 5-2 over the Padres. So a live baseball game while doing a morning show. You know, I honestly know baseball likes to expand its brand, and baseball is very big in South Korea. I know they have the Korean Baseball League and the KBO, I think they call it, the Korean Baseball Organization. And it's very big. It's, you know, probably a double-A caliber baseball. That's what I've heard anyway, not having seen any of the games in the Korean Baseball Organization. But they say it's around double-A, like Fisher Cats caliber baseball. But the fans are very rabid about it. In fact, listening to the game earlier this morning at home, they have cheerleaders on the dugouts for baseball. They make lots of noise. They bang stuff together. They've got an announcer on top of the dugout that makes like random announcements that can't understand what he's saying because it's a different language, of course. But the crowd, no matter what's going on, I mean, there could be absolutely nothing going on the field in terms of excitement, but the crowd is whipped up into a frenzy at these baseball games in South Korea, and it's just like Japan, the same way. In Japan, they make noise throughout, even if there's really nothing going on. They bang whatever it is they bang together, and whether it's enhanced by sound effects, I don't know. But the place is packed. I think the stadium they're playing in Seoul today has a capacity of about 17,000. So. Quite a bit less than it would be for a Major League Baseball opener in North America. But, you know, many fans are there. It's packed. I mean, the place is packed. There are no seats available. And they came at a very expensive cost, from what I understand, that there are, you know, very few tickets, like under $300. For this baseball game between the Dodgers and the Padres, and they have another one tomorrow. And like I said, I know baseball loves to expand its brand, which is a good thing. You know, you have the uniforms and the logos of Major League Baseball teams all over the world, really, selling merchandise and what have you, just like we have European soccer jerseys in abundance in this country. So they expand the brand. But I don't know. You think about it. This game came on at 6 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Now, this game is between the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's the regular season opener for both of these teams. So if you're watching on the West Coast, you're watching it right now at 5:53 in the morning. The first pitch was a little after 3 in the morning. West Coast time. So not a very convenient time for fans of the Dodgers or the Padres, but I guess, you know, it's only two games today and tomorrow. Then they'll be back. Then the ironic thing is that they will then continue spring training and play a few Cactus League games in Arizona. And before they resume the regular season. So the Dodgers and the Padres getting a jump on the regular baseball season. And right now, they're in the top of the ninth inning. And the Dodgers are on top by a score of 5-2 in Seoul, South Korea. And there will be another game to be played tomorrow at the very same time. So set your alarm if you want to wake up and see some Major League Baseball regular season action tomorrow morning at 6. It'll be right there on ESPN. Red Sox, by the way, they won their Grapefruit League game yesterday in Fort Myers, 5-2 over Tampa Bay. Big hit in that ball game was a Tristan Casas home run. And Tristan was ill the first part of spring training, or at least when they started their Grapefruit League games. And now he's recovered, hit a long home run last night for the or yesterday afternoon, rather, for the Boston Red Sox in their 5-2 win over Tampa Bay. And the Red Sox will be off today. How about that? They will be off and will be then taking on the Baltimore Orioles tomorrow night at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers, Florida. David Pastrnak He is a man on fire these days. Pastrnak had his 17th career regular season hat trick Tuesday. Bruins defeated the Ottawa Senators 6-2 at TD Garden. Justin Brazeau added two goals, and Jesper Boqvist had the other goals for the Bruins. Linus Ullmark. I'm just distracted here watching the cheerleaders on top of those dugouts in Seoul, South Korea. Linus Ullmark made 32 saves for the Bees. They will host the Rangers tomorrow night. The Bruins, who won the President's Cup last year as the best team in the National Hockey League during the regular season, the President's Cup goes to the best team during the regular season. You know what? They were on course, on pace to win that again. And there's a curse that goes with the President's Cup, because very few teams that win the President's Cup in the NHL ever go on to win the Stanley Cup. So I don't know if it's such a good thing that the Bruins right now, if the season ended today, they would be awarded the President's Cup again. And I don't know if we necessarily want that. At any rate, Celtics back in action tonight at home against Milwaukee. Celtics lead the Bucks by 10 games. 10 games atop the NBA's Eastern Conference. Celtics have won six in a row. Big story locally last night came from Colchester, Vermont, where the Southern New Hampshire University men's basketball team, the Penmen, finished the game on a 17-0 run to stun the top seed in that tournament, St. Michael's, 73-61. And the Penmen have captured the NCAA East Regional Championship for Division II. That's the first time they've done that in 9 years. Penmen now moving on to the NCAA Division II basketball tournament. So there you have it. You're up to date with all the news. Well, maybe not all of it, but all that really counts in the world of sports. And again, another update here. They're still in the top of the ninth inning in Seoul, South Korea. It is the Los Angeles Dodgers 5 and the San Diego Padres 2. I will never, except for tomorrow, ever, probably again in the history of my radio career, be able to update baseball scores on a morning show. So I'm getting to do that today. 5-2 Dodgers, top half of inning number 9 in the first game of the regular season. And then the season begins in earnest for all of the teams next Thursday. Now, if you're looking for a little trivia out of this game, the first RBI of the season, the first run batted in for anyone in Major League Baseball this season, belonged to former Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts, who is now, he's now playing second base for the Padres. And Mookie Betts, also in this game, is playing shortstop for the Dodgers. I would still like Mookie Betts to be playing right field for the Boston Red Sox, but instead, he's playing shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And checking one news story today, former business associates of Hunter Biden are expected to testify on Capitol Hill today as congressional Republicans begin the next phase of the impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden. That will be taking place today. Can I do it one more time? One more time. Top of the ninth inning, LA Dodgers 5, San Diego Padres 2. Just bear with me, folks, today and tomorrow so I can give these updates. I get excited about that, giving updated baseball scores in the middle of a morning show in particular, because I'll probably never have the chance to do it again after tomorrow. All right, thanks for joining us. Want to thank Chris Brown from New Hampshire Distributors, the New Hampshire Mountain Kings, the 1883 Black Ice Hockey Tournament, which will take place this weekend at Tri-Town Ice Arena in Hooksett. And also thanks to Clint Edinger. Clint, general manager and director of hockey operations for the NHL's New Hampshire Mountain Kings. Thanks to Andrew behind the glass for his great producing of the show, but especially that coffee with cinnamon in it always hits the spot. All right, thank you very much for joining us today, and enjoy your spring. We're officially in spring right now, but more than that, always look on the bright side of life. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.